Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the FCB employment session. I want to thank Allison Smitherman for being our ACB host and John Richards for doing our Zoom in-house room. So I am going to turn this meeting over to Jason Goldfield, who is one of the employment committee members.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you so much for coming out to our employment committee meeting. As Sheila said, my name is Jason Goldfield. I serve on the employment committee, and we are here today to talk about a very important subject that a lot of people don't consider in searching for employment or once they're employed, and that's reasonable accommodations on the job site. We have for you today two presenters, Jeannie Struhart and myself, Jason Goldfield, and we'd like to both tell you our stories on how, once we're successfully gained in employment, how we were able to advocate and receive the equipment that we need for our employment to be able to do our job successfully. So what we're going to do is we're going to start our panelist discussion. Our first panelist, we have Jeannie Struhart, and she is on Zoom with us today. And Jeannie, are you there?
Yes, hello, I'm here.
Okay, wonderful. So I'd like to turn the floor over to Jeannie right now, and she is going to talk to you about her story about how she became successfully employed and how she received her accommodations on the workplace. Jeannie, take it away.
Okay, thank you very much. Hi, good morning, everyone. My name is Jeannie Struhart. I live in Jacksonville, Florida. Right now, my job is a teacher of the visually impaired, but I have had other jobs too, where I have had to ask for reasonable accommodations. I think the main thing for me of that I think is important how I got reasonable accommodations, and that I would suggest or recommend to anyone, is just when you go in and you ask for whatever accommodations you need, is just to be confident in asking. You know, don't be afraid. I would even say you could recommend accommodations even during your interview. And don't be afraid to say, oh, if I tell them what accommodations I'm going to need during my interview, you know, I'll never get hired. Well, don't think that way. I think, and even nowadays, companies and organizations, and they are aware that people who are blind or who have low vision are very capable of working and keeping in a job, you know, and doing a great job. But I think if you show you have that confidence, you go in there and you, during your interview, and you say, I am visually impaired or I am blind, but I can do this job, and this is how I do it. I will need these accommodations. And don't be afraid to say that. I think companies appreciate that you tell them up front, that you're not hiding it, and that they know when they go in. And if you can show during the other parts of your interview that you are capable of doing a job and that you have something to offer them, I think, you know, you will get hired. And I don't think it will be an issue to get to receive those accommodations that you need. I myself am low vision, so I do have some vision. And the main accommodation I have asked for during my jobs is Zoom text. Now, currently, because of Microsoft Magnifier, I use that. And so I still do have Zoom because I, you know, in case I've just used it for so many years that I wasn't comfortable just going all the way over to completely over to Magnifier. But although I do use it more and more, and most computers nowadays have Microsoft Magnifier on them, so I don't really need to ask for that accommodation anymore. But I did need to. And, you know, I don't know. I wasn't afraid to ask for it because I just knew that, hey, if I ask for it, then I'll be able to do my job successfully. And my employer wants me to be able to do my job. They would rather have me ask than rather have me sit there and stumble and maybe try and read regular print and not be able to do it, or then I would be unsuccessful without the accommodations. So I think employers would rather have me with the accommodations I'm asking for and be successful and be and help them to be successful in their mission, whatever the mission of their company is or their organization is. I have worked for two different types of organizations. The first one was a smaller organization. It was small and kind of informal. So when I asked for my accommodations, I could just say to my manager or my supervisor, "Hey, I think I need this. I have low vision. I can't read regular size print. So I will need Zoom text to be able to do my job successfully." And they were just said, "Well, okay, yeah, if that's what you need, we would be glad to provide that for you." And so that's how it was as easy as that. Now that I have, now that I work for a school district, Duval County Public Schools, I needed to go through a longer process because it's a large school district and there's thousands and thousands of people there. And even though my direct supervisor says, "Oh, yes, if you need that, certainly you can get it," I had to apply for that. I had to go through the Equality and Equity office and I had to fill out an application. And then I had to get a doctor's note saying that I am visually impaired, legally blind, and I need these accommodations. Then after I got that, then the coordinator for ADA had to meet with my supervisor and interview me, interview my supervisor, discuss the matter, this and that. And then they said, "No, we would like to provide you with this, but we don't have the funding." So then I went to DBS, Division of Blind Services, to ask them. And they said, "Oh no, you're working. Your job should be providing you with ADA accommodations. We can't do that." So I went back to my job and told them that. And they said, "Well, sorry, we still don't have the funding. You'll have to go back to Division of Blind Services." So I went back to them and talked to them again. And they said, "Well, okay, well, if your job says they don't have the money, the funding in their budget, we need a letter from them stating that." And after that, after you receive that letter, after we receive that letter, then we'll be able to provide you the accommodations. Because at that time, I was asking for my vision had started getting worse, and so it started to decrease. So, along with the Zoom text, I was requesting a video magnifier, like a handheld one that I could carry around. So I was working. I couldn't use like a big CCTV. I mean, I could use them, and in fact, I had them at work. But I wanted one that I could carry around with me from place to place, a handheld one. I needed that so I could bring it home and to work. And if I had to go to meetings or workshops or wherever I needed to go, I could bring it with me and I would be able to read with it. So that's what I was requesting. So what happened is after the school district provided DBS with a letter saying we are unable to provide this accommodation to Jeannie Strohar and whatever else they said in the letter, then DBS said, "Oh, okay, we got your letter now. We'll provide you the accommodations." So it wasn't that anyone was against giving it to me. It was just kind of a hassle with a lot of back and forth and back and forth with who's going to give it to me and what steps I had to do, and then it was filling out paperwork, talking to this person, talking to that one, and then sending me back and forth. So that was kind of frustrating. It wasn't as easy as the first job where it was just a small organization and I could say, "Hey, I need this accommodation," and they said, "Okay, sure, yes, you can have it. We'll provide that for you." I had those two different experiences, one where it was as easy as telling my supervisor and receiving it. The other one, the big company, was as just more frustrating, not because of the people themselves, but because it's such a large company. Such a large school district, they had all these rules and regulations and procedures, and a lot of back and forth and a lot of frustration. But I finally got it. So the other thing I would encourage you to do is just don't give up. Don't say, "Oh, they said no, I can't have it. I can't have my accommodation. I'll have to try and struggle through my job, or I will have to try and go get another job. They said no, I can't have it." Keep advocating for yourself. Keep telling people, "I need this." And if they send you somewhere else, to DBS or somewhere else, go there and say, hey, I need mess accommodation. My job is saying they can't provide it for me because whatever, because of funding, because of whatever, and I need it, you know, and see what they say. And just don't give up, you know, don't think you can't have it. You are, I can't think of that word, that but you can get them, and you should be able to get them. You know, you deserve them, and you need them to do your job. And so don't give up, and go to people, go to advocacy groups, or somebody, find groups that can help you, because you should be able to, if you need accommodations to do your job successfully, you should be able to get them. And I'm sorry, I don't know if I talked too long, but that's my story, and I'd be happy to answer any other questions if anyone has them.
So, are there any questions for Jeannie here in the room? Are there any questions for Jeannie on Zoom?
I have no raised hands.
Okay, no raised hands. All right. Well, Jeannie, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time and coming here today to speak to us on your story and how you received accommodations on your job. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. So I guess it's my turn. And once again, my name is Jason. So my story is a little bit different from Jeannie's. And for that, I have to go back to the year 2000. So it's quite a ways back. And back in October of 2000, I started working at what I considered my first real job, because I've done little small things here and there. But my first real employment was with the Office Depot Corporation. And at the time, I didn't have any experience doing anything with them or whatnot, and it was going to be in their call center. Now, of course, over the years, there policies have changed, their whole model has changed. But back in the day, you got live customer service representatives in call centers that were local. So, to tell a little bit of story behind that, I remember I was looking for work and I got a call from my counselor at the Division of Blind Services at the time. And she said, Jason, Office Depot's having an open job fair, and would you like to go? And I said, well, sure. So I remember going there, and there was a whole bunch of people, and I figured, well, all we're going to be doing is just maybe dropping off some information, filling out an application, and the whole nine yards. And I remember we did that, and they said, okay, have your seat for your interview. And I'm like, interview? What interview? I was like, I wasn't ready for an interview. And I remember the day that when we went, the way I was dressed was definitely not for an interview. I was wearing like jeans and an older shirt because I wasn't expecting any of this. So, make a long story short on that end, I remember sitting in front of a bunch of people and they asked me a bunch of questions. Don't remember the particulars on that. And then they got to the part with, well, you're blind. I'm like, yes, that's correct. And they said, well, how do you plan on doing your job efficiently? And I sat there because remember, I wasn't ready for this. I had no preparation, anything like that. So I said, well, I don't know. I was like, I can tell you what equipment I use, and I mentioned briefly about JAWS and screen readers in general and the whole nine yards and everything. And as much as they were unprepared, as much as I was unprepared for them, they were unprepared for me. So that launched into a whole big thing. And I guess I somehow, some way impressed them. I don't remember impressing them, but I guess I did. So they wanted to meet with me again. And we had another meeting that was just more detailed about what was a screen reader, what was JAWS, because I myself have almost no vision, so I don't use any magnification. And we went into the whole thing. They said, well, we've never heard of that. We've never hired anybody who is visually impaired. You're the very first one. I'm like, great. I'm the first one. Wonderful. I figured they've hired these people before, people like myself. They would know what to do. Well, as much as I didn't know what to do with them, they didn't know what to do with me. So they said, well, send us some information on this JAWS program and how it works and how we can maybe integrate it into our programs and our systems here at Office Depot. So between myself and my counselor at Division of Blind Services, we did that, and it took a couple weeks for them to get back with me. And they said, yeah, we received your information, and we think that this might work. I was like, cool. I was like, so what now? So they said, well, is it possible that you can get a demonstration copy of this program? Because if it will work and we can find a way to make it work on our systems, we'll be glad to hire you on. And we'll be glad to buy it for you and really anything else that you need. But we want to see how it works first. So we went over there again, sat down with them, did a little demonstration and whatnot. And I guess they were pretty impressed. So between my counselor and the folks at Office Depot and along with myself, a few weeks progressed from there. And they decided, okay, we're going to go ahead and give you a shot. So we want to know exactly how do we purchase this program, what is the cost, and let us know, on top of that, any other pieces of equipment that you will need in order to do your job. Now remember, I was just blown away. I was just really blown away. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what do we do? How do we do it? So as time went through, a couple days passed since then, got a whole list of equipment for them. We got the software. They also got me a scanner at the time. And they also went ahead and purchased me a Braille embosser, Braille printer, which... that, I was really surprised. I didn't think they were going to do it. I didn't use it that often because I had to braille out some scripts. I had to braille out information, and I figured that would probably be the most effective way of doing things. Along with that, by the way, before I forget, I also told them that I needed the Duxbury Braille Translator program. Got him information on that. They said, no problem. So what they did, once we got all the equipment, again, that took a little bit of time. They had me come in and they said, okay, we want to know what is going to be the most effective and best way for you to learn how to do this job. Now, let me just say this, of course, like any call center job at the time, they, you know, had classes and they went through a standard training and they realized that that might not be proven to be too prudent to put me through that. So what they did with me instead was they had me sit down with an actual employee who was on the floor, and that's how I learned all their systems, all their processes, all their policies by watching them. So I sat with them for a few days, just shadowing them, watching them, and asking a ton of questions. And it was really nice because I got to see how an actual employee does it directly without going through a standard training class and, you know, a mock type of system before they put their agents on the floor. And slowly, what they did was, once I felt comfortable, was that I was able to start handling some calls, of course, with this employee. And obviously, they put me with somebody who was there for quite a while, someone who they knew that could, you know, who wouldn't mind working with me the whole nine yards. So that was really cool. And the guy was really patient. And I said, I have a lot of questions. He goes, you stop me anytime you have questions. His name was Bob. I don't remember his last name. But he was just a super nice guy, very, very patient, and took his time with me. So once I started feeling more comfortable, then they got me my own computer. They got with their IT people to figure out the best way for JAWS and the other equipment that I have to work with their systems. That took them a while. Because they remember, I was the very first one that they had that was visually impaired or blind. So once they did that, they put me in front of my own computer. And they had the same gentleman who trained me, this guy Bob. He sat with me and watched me. So now the roles were reversed. And I could still stop him anytime I had a question, a concern, a problem. He could jump right in and take over if need be. And just over time, there was this really nice transition of me asking fewer and fewer questions, having fewer and fewer problems. And in the beginning, there really were a lot of problems that I won't bore you with. But as time, we hammered those out, we ironed those out, and that is how I basically became successful and received the accommodations that I needed to do my job. And what was really cool was, even though my role at the company changed about four times, because back then I first started out taking live calls, incoming calls for orders, because it was a call center for customer service, customers having problems with orders and whatnot. Then I moved into a more of a specialized type of role, which was called the back order department. That's all like automated nowadays, but back then it was pretty much done manually. Then I started moving into more other specialized type of jobs. And something that I found that two gentlemen in that particular department that I worked for handled in particular, they were still incoming type of calls, but they were regarding prison orders. So these weren't orders for prisons themselves and jails. They were for the actual inmates. So what really made that job unique was that, of course, these prisoners, or these inmates, rather, I should say, are they're in jail. So they are allowed to have only certain items. So we couldn't send them anything sharp, with metal, anything that had sharp ends. They were pretty much limited to basic writing pads, basic notebooks, things like that. Sticky notes and items like that that they couldn't use for contraband and whatnot. And I stayed in that department for over a year. And that was really, really nice. It kind of took me off of the main type of incoming calls of just general orders that anybody here in the room or on Zoom would call in and place a order over the phone with a standard representative. So the product line was really easy. And actually, to a point, I could actually remember a lot of the item numbers that went along with those type of items because they were very few items that could be sent. And you had to order them in such a way that, you know, we had to send them to the prison, to the jails, wherever they were going. Most of them, even though we're in Florida, most of them were to the state of Texas. And I learned real quick that Texas has the most state jails or most state prisons. I find that very interesting. Anyhow, but then unfortunately that whole customer service era got phased out. It got outsourced. This is going on years later. So they moved me to, again, with all of my equipment, my JAWS, my scanner at the time, my Braille embosser and everything else that I had. They moved me, well, I had to reapply actually. I applied with a department that was kind of, it was kind of there and I knew it was going to be short-lived, but it was called Inside Sales. And I was what they called a telephone account manager. It was called the TAM, T-A-M department. And that's what stood for telephone account manager. And I was like, cool, I'm an account manager. I'm not all about titles, but I just thought that that sounded really neat. And what was nice was 95, if not better, of the amount of calls were all outbound calls because you were calling companies that were existing customers and you were dealing strictly with companies. You weren't dealing with the average consumer. And what was nice is I kind of had an advantage. And this was something that you weren't technically supposed to do, but somehow I got away with it, is if the customer had a large order, I would tell them, I'm like, look, if you could do me a favor, I'm going to write down all the items that you want, and I'm going to place the order, and I'm going to call you back. Because it always took me a lot longer to find certain items. Some things I knew off the top of my head just from ordering them so much. But there were other things that took me a little bit longer to look up and find in their system. Because back then, we had email, we had the internet, but you know, 2000 and into the early 2000s, we didn't have quite the technology we have now. So most customers were like, okay, that's fine. And I could take, not my sweet old time, but I could kind of process it at my leisure. And I would call them back and tell them, okay, we found everything, the whole nine yards. And, you know, it, even though Office Depot was a great employer, and I have to say they treated me extremely well, I felt that I had to kind of push beyond a normal employee, quote unquote, a normal employee. You know, I always believe that when you have a job, you should give 100%. Well, I felt I had to give almost 200% because not only could I prove that I could do the same job that everybody else did, I'm in a situation where I didn't have the leisure of looking through their books because they were still using paper catalogs. And to some people, they're like, what's a paper catalog? Well, but a lot of it was done online too. So that took me a little bit of time to look up, especially with JAWS, and I had to make notes and everything. And it was just really a nice way to go. So I worked in that position for about a year and a half. Altogether, I was there for about 7 to 7.5 years. And unfortunately, that got outsourced. And we all know nowadays when you call any type of customer service, you're getting someone outside this country. And that's just the way corporate America goes. So, but that's a whole other story. But I really appreciated that company giving me the chance and giving me the opportunity to show them that a visually impaired individual could do the job as well and on the same level as everybody else. So that's basically my story. I know that's a little bit different, but it goes way back on some history. And I will, you know, always be grateful for that opportunity. And even though their whole corporate style has changed, that might be something that other companies, possibly in the future, would be very open and very receptive to hiring somebody with visual impairments. And that's my story. So do you have any questions for me here in the room? Okay, none? Is there a question or no? Oh, there is. Okay, go ahead. Hang on, because we have Zoom, I like for people on Zoom to hear you, so could we get this mic? Okay.
Thank you. Hello, can you hear me? So I always kick myself, like looking back to like my story with employment. Sort of a few years ago when I was like starting to, well, I was fresh out of high school, right? And I kind of found that my passion was in interpreting and translation because, you know, I'm multilingual, whatever. And I'm also in the Miami area, so that's like, you know, very big there. I was working, I was in the onboarding process for this company, very big company in interpreting translation field. And when I got to like a certain point, during the onboarding process, I had not disclosed that I was blind because I thought I was going to be, you know, discriminated. So at some point I was literally about to finish the onboarding process, and I told this person, you know, that she was doing the whole thing. I was like, hey, actually I'm blind and visually impaired, and I kind of need this, this and that to work. I needed my equipment, whatever. And she basically told me, like, there on the spot, like, you cannot have that here because it conflicts with our policies. And I was like, okay. You know, at that point, I didn't really push back because I was young. I was 20. I'm 24 right now. I was 20, fresh out of high school. I didn't really know a lot of my rights and stuff like that. And I was perfectly capable of performing my job, like just like anyone else, right? But so the thing is that they use paper to take notes, right? Because you, as an interpreter or translator, you have to take notes for like, you know, numbers, stuff like that, places. And they use paper and a shredder to do that because they were afraid of privacy concerns. And it's one of their policies. And so she just told me outright, like, oh, you cannot have that here. So they just let me go. So, you know, looking back on that, do you think that was a company I shouldn't be really looking forward to working with, or should I have like had pushback a little more?
Oh, and also, do you see my cell phone dropped on the floor? Okay. Well, that's an excellent question. And, you know, I really believe that, in my opinion at least, and there's going to be people who are going to agree with me and disagree. That's perfectly okay. In my opinion, I really believe that you should have pushed for that accommodation. And because, you know, they're talking about privacy and, oh, you can't have that because of privacy. My whole thing is I understand they have privacy, and every company, whether it's big or small, they should, you do need to have privacy concerns. Absolutely. That was one of the things at Office Depot when I told my story, when they were like, okay, well, we're kind of open to this JAWS thing, but we don't know how well it's going to, if it's going to you know, interfere with the privacy and the security of our software. But at least they were receptive. And, you know, the best thing is, the best answer I can give you is when they ask for questions like that, it's like you should almost know your homework. You should almost know more than what they do in a way. So that way you're able to say, okay, I understand your privacy concerns and they're quite valid, but this is how, you know, my software, my equipment, whatever you would need in order to do that job is not going to interfere with your privacy concerns and your privacy policies, because it's not like what you would need is going to spy or steal or whatever words you want to use for that type of information. And you know, a lot of employers, they like to throw that out. They really do. And I've heard this more times than not. And, oh, well, you know, well, that could interfere with the security and the privacy. They like to use those certain keywords. But I really think that quite possibly, you know, you should have pushed back. If it was a job that you really wanted and you knew that their software was not going to interfere with that or your equipment or whatever you would need, then that's what you could show them, because they could say, oh, okay. They can come up with something else, of course. But at the same time, you know, you could show them that they don't have anything to worry about. So I hope that answers your question. Right. Right. Sure. Right. Absolutely. Okay. So, yeah. So, no, I hope to answer your question. All right. Any other questions here in the room? Okay. Is there none? Okay. Are there any hands on Zoom?
Not at this time.
Not at this time. Okay. Wow. What a crowd. So, guys, you know, I really hope that the information that we talked about with Jeannie and myself have really helped you, because, you know, finding a job, and once we even get that job, receiving those accommodations that we need in order to do our job properly could almost be just as difficult and just as challenging and almost, to a point, almost discouraging as the actual interview process and the actual application process, which we know anybody who has worked, does work, or whatnot, we know that that can be just a daunting process in itself. And that's why when we go into a company, the more we know about that particular company and what they're doing and how they work, the better off we're going to be. And then we all know, since we all have individual and specialized needs, we know what equipment we have, and we should be prepared to talk about that equipment, and whether it be software or hardware or both or anything else for that matter, and be prepared, like the gentleman who asked about, who said that their employee stated, oh, you can't have that because it interferes with our privacy concerns, and put their mind at ease. So it could be so easy to say, okay, well, you don't want me because my equipment's going to interfere with your privacy, your security. And that could be a major slap in the face. So anytime we know ahead of time what we use, how we use it, and how we're going to use it on the job site, we can properly educate the company and tell them. And that will put their mind at ease. Okay. Do we have any final questions or comments at this point? I guess not. All right. Well, I wanted to thank you guys for coming out today here in the room and listening to us on Zoom. We greatly do appreciate it. We hope the information that was presented today you found valuable and informative. And whether you are working or you are planning on looking for work, we hope that that information will help you in your job hunting and your current working abilities. Thank you very much, and enjoy the rest of the convention.